Welcome everyone to the Baby Wearing Club podcast, where we explore the art and practice of baby wearing. I'm your host, Carla Castro. Thank you so much for making the time to tune in. For today's episode, we have a special guest, Kaylee Medeiros, founder and owner of Heritage Baby Designs, an Ontario-based baby carrier company that offers lovely linen ring slings and cozy stretchy wraps. I'm really excited to have you with us, Kaylee, and it would be fantastic if you could please share with us a little bit about who you are and what you do in the baby wearing world.
So I'm Kaylee. I am mom to two and 4 years old now, and I discovered baby wearing with my first. I always thought that I would be a baby wearing mom. I think some people go into parenthood with a vision of what kind of parent they're going to be, and some don't. And I was definitely the type that went in with a clear vision of the type of mom I was going to be. And that included having my baby strapped to my body at all times. I just knew I wanted that for myself. I think when I saw it in pop culture, but also in things like, it sounds awful, but like in National Geographic, in so many different areas I'd seen baby wearing, it looked practical. The thing that stood out to me more than anything is you would see these moms on TV juggling babies, just juggling babies and things in bags. I think of scenes in Everybody Loves Raymond where the wife is just trying to get everything done with no hands. And I thought, why not just clear that up?
Give yourself There's a solution.
And so I just fell in love with it before I even had kids. Mm. And then my son came along and he was in his first carrier hours old. I was still in the hospital. I went on my first walk down up and down the halls, and I remember the nurses saying, look at you you're already strapped in. I said, yeah, we gotta start from day one. And I was hooked. I was hooked. I had purchased a ring sling and a stretch wrap and a structured carrier all before my first was born.
Amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't get a hang of the ring sling, to be honest. It was the one that I liked the look of the most, and I couldn't figure it out. Then my husband went back to work. I was on mat leave in the winter, home with two dogs and a baby. And I remember breaking down in tears a couple of times because I still couldn't get this ring sling to work. It's all I wanted. I finally got it. And then I purchased a second one months later. And we were both in love with it. My son and I both loved it. My husband even started trying it out. And then I wanted another one and another one and another one. And my husband said, you know, these things, I don't know. That's a lot. We only have one kid.
Yeah. How many do you need?
Yeah. And so I had this really old sewing machine, probably made in the late 70s. And it was a hand-me-down. It was an ex's mom actually gifted it to me, hand-me-down. So I dug it up from the basement, dusted it off, got it tuned up just on my own from YouTube, and went out and bought some fabric and botched my first two ring slings. I made the most dangerous, ugliest ring slings. And I love them. Wow. I still have them.
Do you really?
Oh, I'm never getting rid of them. I can't.
That's amazing.
And then I thought, you know what? Now that I know all the mistakes, let me make one more perfect. And I did. I made it. I loved it. And then I don't know, as if out of a dream, I just thought, why can't I do this? Why can't I make these and sell them?
Yeah.
And then I feel like fast forward and here we are.
Here you are. Heritage Baby Designs.
Like. Yeah. And it's rocking and rolling. And I love it. I love the community. I think for me, baby wearing was practical. That's how it was born in my heart. But it's so much more than that. And I love it.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. That's such a great story. And like, I don't often meet parents who have put that much thought into it beforehand, you know, like a lot of times you don't think about the baby world before you have a baby. It's kind of like in the peripheral, but you don't really pay attention to it until you're like, oh, I'm about to have a baby. And then you dive in.
Yeah.
And it can be so overwhelming. And it's so exciting when you hear of parents who've like, you know, paid attention a little bit and really put some thought into it. And it sounds like you really did put some thought into it. And it's so exciting to see how empowering it is to have that knowledge and skill set beforehand. So that like from day one, right, you're just like, okay, I can do this. And it's just such a huge help, you know, in those first few days. And not to say that you can't start later, but it's just a really special time to be able to start that practice, right? And
yeah.
I love that you mentioned that you've seen it in magazine, National Geographic, but also in pop mm-hmm. culture. You know, like personally, I don't have a first memory of baby wearing, but I love Gilmore Girls and I was rewatching it recently. And I'm like, oh, there was baby yeah. wearing there way back then. Yeah. I saw that, but I didn't register. Again, you know, before kids, you don't really think about these things, but yeah, it's, you know, it pops up here and there, and it has influenced us all in some way or another, right? And sometimes it fuels that creativity, and in your case, it's become this amazing company that you've built. You are reaching so many parents with these amazing ring slings, which are such a convenient carrier, such a versatile carrier, and I think definitely one that's a bit tricky to learn for some, but you know, once you get it, it's just, there's such an ease of use to it. Front carry, hip carry, back carry. And I love that it is also one of the types of carriers, yes, modern because of the rings, but it's tied to so many traditional carrying techniques as well.
Yes.
And carrying positions, you know? So it like translates to other carriers. And if, you know, somebody has experience with something like a Rebozo, for example, it translates. So they're able to kind of go, hey, I can use a ring sling too, or I can use a Rebozo too. So I love that you have focused in on that, but you also do stretchy wraps.
Yes, I do stretchy wraps as well. The stretcher wrap was actually supposed to be born at the same time as the ring slings. And I have photographic evidence of my very first stretchy wraps were present at my photo shoot, my first photo shoot. So I had a couple of models in them. We have videos of me putting them in the stretch wraps because I loved a stretch wrap in my first days. I still do. I will put every brand new baby in a stretch wrap. It's my yeah. go-to. But I didn't like it. There was something about the supplier, because I hadn't found a seamstress that could sew the stretch. So I went for an overseas supplier, and there's just something about it that didn't feel authentic to this brand I was trying to build. And so I didn't let it off the ground. And so it actually took me about 2.5 years from the birth of Heritage to the birth of the stretch wrap, even though I had taken these photos.
Wow, amazing.
I just wanted it to be authentic to me yeah. and what I was trying to build. So I've since found a seamstress that does sew them. So they are sewn locally to me, which I love. That's always what I wanted. Yeah. And I love them. I did not expect them to take off the way they did. I thought a few people would be into them. I was wrong. I cannot keep them in stock to save my life. A good problem to have, I think. But yeah, the stretch wrap is, I think that one has a little bit less of a learning curve than the ring sling, a little bit more user-friendly, but there's definitely still some error. I saw your Instagram post the other day about, is your baby sagging in your ring sling? And I was like yelling at my phone, like, yes, that's probably the number one thing that I hear is, Kaylee, my baby's falling down. It's
like, yeah.
Your baby's not falling down. Just tie it tighter.
Yeah. It's one of the most popular first carriers, I think, across mm-hmm. the board is a stretchy wrap. People just go for a stretchy wrap.
Yeah.
They're just so cozy and convenient. You know, just, you don't even have to untie it, pop in, pop yeah. out the baby. And it's just, but there is, you know, a learning curve to it too, right? So it's yeah, the support that you offer too, you know, through your videos and the countless hours I'm sure that you dedicate to fit checks. It's just, yeah, it's really wonderful. And I have to say, I'm really, I love when new brands come with such a conscious, focus on their customers, not so much like, let's sell this, let's sell that, but like yeah. really focusing on like each family's experience and being yeah. able to support them. And the fact that you're still able to do that, you know, because it seems like you're growing so much and it's like really exciting, you know? I really appreciate that. Because it's really easy to see when you spot the baby wearing world, right? It's just exploding right now. And you're seeing, you know, companies pop up, but you can feel, like you said, that authentic that you wanted to keep it authentic to who you are and your experience and how you want to support parents in that mm-hmm. similar experience that you had. It really comes through. And so it's really great when you can tell people this brand, you know, first of all, great quality, mm-hmm. But also the support that they're going to get through you is really amazing and encouraging to see. Yeah, really good education being promoted.
Yeah. That's it. And I don't, I think what we see a lot in the baby wearing community is shaming. There's a lot of, I think we get a lot of sanctimommies in kind of this motherhood circle that we live in general. It doesn't matter what it's about, whether it's about how you feed your baby or how you hold your baby or how you birth your baby or how you, it spreads like wildfire, and it's really, really discouraging. I tell people all the time, if you're in a Facebook group where you see a lot of it going on, leave that Facebook group, leave, because that mob will turn against you the second you say that your kid's not sleeping through the night. That mob will turn against you the second that you tell them that you can't figure out how to get rid of an eczema patch. It doesn't matter what the topic is, they're coming for you. It's awful. Awful. That's not how we build confident parents. And so, yeah, with the brand, I just wanted to make sure that it didn't transcend into Heritage Baby Designs. I just will not tolerate it. And part of that is also showing the authenticity of a bad carrying day. Today, I went out with my kid to the bus stop because she was clingy to pick up my other kid, and my rings were down by my boobs. And you know why? Because I needed to hold her somehow.
Had to go. Yes.
Just had to go. And I'm extremely experienced in the ring sling, and I help people in their ring slings, and I get it wrong so often.
Yeah.
The difference is I'm not putting it out into the world for help and then in turn getting shame thrown back at me. So I do like to show what it looks like in reality. It looks like having a bad carry sometimes. It looks like your kid refusing to get in the sling sometimes, because that's no mommy, real no life. Mommy. It's like, but I need you in here now. It's, you know, one, it's both kids wanting to be up on you at the same time, and you just don't have the physical or mental capacity to accommodate that. Like, that's the reality of baby wearing, but of parenting also. And I don't like the narrative I was seeing. I think especially later last year, there was a lot of chatter about hip dysplasia and what causes it and what doesn't, and the conversation's still going, but there was a lot of eyes on baby wearing and how that plays into the mix, and what is safe versus what is comfortable versus what is not recommended. And there is an issue. I have a nephew who's being assessed for hip dysplasia, and the doctor just said, you know, no carriers until we have answers. This doesn't mean that baby wearing is bad for hip dysplasia as an overarching theme. It just is a precaution, and that's fine. And that needs to be okay. But I think we've taken it a little too far in some ways. I think there's some parents out there who are like, well, either you wear it perfectly or you don't wear it at all. It's just not reality.
And a lot of that too is very cultural. Like in North America, I have found we tend to be very safety focused. And like when it comes to babies, safety, safety, safety. And so the thing to remember is we've lost a lot of our parenting intuition here, you know, that in other places in the world, people have been able to maintain that. They've been able to pass down carrying traditions, for example. And because it's passed down, it becomes intuitive. You know how to carry a baby. You know what tension feels like. You know what when something is too loose, et cetera. But here we've lost that. We don't have that. And so we focus on, you know, other people telling us what's right, what's wrong, printed manuals, you know, government ads, things like that, right? Like in Canada here, I really appreciate that there's a little, because some people will only listen to what, you know, if it's stamped by the government, then it's good. And it, at least it's right in this case. You know, with the baby wearing ticks and just making sure that, you know, the airway is clear and baby is visible, things like that. But, you know, we've come so far from those roots of just, this is how it is to just raise a baby. They need to be on you. How do you keep going with your daily living, whether it's your first, your second, your 10th, maybe, you know, whether you are at home full-time, whether you are part-time out of the house, whether you're full-time out of the house, all of these scenarios, we've lost that intuition of being able to trust ourselves, trust our gut, trust what our baby is asking of us, you know, building that bond between us that makes communication so much easier. And so it's really, as an educator, I have to like kind of balance, okay, my educator hat, but at the same time, like, you know, by sharing information and making sure parents know, right, the visible and making sure baby's airway is clear and all that, but at the same time, empowering them to say, hey, you know how to do this. You just have to tap into that, right? Like, trust yourself. But when you look around the world in other places where this is still, you know, just a living tradition, living practice, something that you just, it just is, it's really neat to see how it's not something you have to think about. And it's not something that people go around going, that looks right, that looks wrong. It just is, you know, people just do that. So it's really nice when you meet other parents who feel the same way and are able to encourage other parents, you know. And in the world of manufacturing, for example, it can get a little less personal, but I love smaller brands that are able to keep that personal touch. And like you said, keeping it real and just saying, this is what parenting is like, you know, it's not about having it perfect each and every time. It's about knowing what an ideal position is and knowing that it, even though it's not ideal right now, you know, it's still safe. Your baby's not going to fall. Nobody's going to get injured. It's getting the job done and you're both comfortable and you're safe and all that. Right. But it's having that balance, I think, and not having that extreme of being judgy and criticizing each other so much, like we see too often.
Back to you're saying about the babies falling. I always tell people, you're going to know when your baby's slipping. And I don't know how to describe this to them in any other way, but trust me, you know. It's not usually when they're sleeping, first of all, because they're it's usually in a moment of struggle, whining, wiggling, they're pushing up against things. The baby starts to go and then you go, oh, we gotta undo this, or I have something to fix. Your baby's just not gonna drop to the ground. You're gonna feel the sliding gradually happen. And yeah, from a cultural perspective, it's, I think this trendiness, quote unquote, that is, it's a facade of trendiness, truly, in baby wearing has led to there needing to be regulations and rules and certifications and educators, which are necessary. All of these things are necessary, but they also leave little room for tolerance. And that's, I think, where we see that. And like you said, you know, if you go out to Asia, or parts of Africa where they carry their babies all the time, if you, you know, so many different cultures where they just carry their babies and they are raised seeing it. And it's the second you're not the baby being worn anymore, there's another baby being worn. And so your memory is, it's a constant memory for you and you're seeing that practice, living and breathing it. And there's people surrounding you who have done it before and who can help you. Whereas now, I think if I took my daughter out in a ring sling in the grocery store and I was having an issue, I don't know how many people in the store, in the entire grocery store, would know how to help me if I had a misstep. I don't know.
Right.
Potentially none.
I hadn't thought of it like that before, but that is so true.
Nor do we live in a culture where just helping a stranger through a hardship or a misstep is so common. I think especially on this end of the pandemic, it's, can I approach you? Can I talk to you? Can I be in your space? And it's just, it's hard for parents sometimes. I mean, I've helped a couple of parents. I helped one woman at the grocery store once. I was without my kids and she had two kids, probably about the same age difference as mine, so about 2 years apart. And her baby was crying. She didn't have a carrier. The baby would not be put down and her toddler was starting to lose it. And he wasn't at the point where he was throwing a tantrum, but you could feel the tension building in all three of them. And I looked at her and I said, what can I do for you? I said, can I come into your space? What can I do for you? And her son had to go to the washroom. She needed to change the baby. The baby needed to be fed. And I was like, I'll stand with the stroller. Do you do what you need to go do? I will stand here with the stroller. And so she ran into the washroom and nursed her son, or nursed her baby, got her son on the toilet, and she's standing there holding the door open, juggling the kid. And I said, do you want a carrier? Because I have a carrier in my car. I'm a weirdo and always carry extra carriers in my car.
No, that's amazing.
I will bring it out to you. And she said, no, I have one in my car, but I'm done now. I'll just run out. I helped her out to her car. But you don't, and this is not to say, you know, I'm the saint or anything. It's just, it, you don't see that community amongst parents often. And that's what I'm combating. I feel like I'm just trying to combat that almost institutionalization of baby wearing. It doesn't have to be that, because it's not ever what it was meant to be. It was always meant to be about the community and just raising kids in a way that makes it a little bit easier, because it's really challenging.
It is. And that community, we've lost that, right? Like, even when it comes to baby wearing, like in other cultures, you see grandparents, you know, extended family, older siblings, everybody participates, right? It's like, not just let me hold the baby, it's let me strap the baby on and let's keep going with, you know, prepping the meal, let's keep going with mending the nets or whatever it is, you know, kind of fishing village, or, you know, doing whatever needs to happen, right? And we really, it would be so amazing to see more of that come back here, that community feel and that support for parents. I think it's so isolating already, but during this pandemic, even more so.
Even more
when we've had that safety net stripped from us, like those of us that have family nearby, we stopped seeing family for how long, right? So many of us were like, oh man, it's just our household now. And it's a lot of us don't live with extended family in the same household here. And so it's just been very isolating. And to be able to bring that back and be more conscious of how we can support each other. I love what you said, like, how can I support you right now? Like, how can I help you? I'll stay with the stroller, you know?
Whatever, yeah.
That's enough, you know?
Excuse
me. You don't need to pick up a child, touch one of their children, anything like that. Just the fact that you're keeping their stroller safe is just a weight off the shoulder. And they can go and deal with their kids and all that. But just, you know, showing empathy for a parent instead of walking by and just looking at them like, how do you not have this under control, right?
I feel like that's what happens with a lot of the judgment in baby wearing also. I think that we see, so I posted a photo of a pretty popular Instagrammer, and her carry was less than ideal. But I would say, honestly, Carla, it was just uncomfortable. Like when I looked at it, I said, my shoulder burns looking at that photo, but your baby's safe, you're safe. Clearly, this was necessary. You needed your baby in the carrier. And the picture is taken in a millisecond. This is not 1925 where we have to stand still or all look like fuzzy ghosts in the photo. You can be in motion and snap a pretty crisp photo. And so people started messaging me. I had all these DMs were saying, Kaylee, you have to correct her. You need to tell her that that's not safe. It's your responsibility to make sure that blah, blah, blah. And I said, pump the brakes. First of all, I'm not an educator. That is not my hat. And do I spend time educating? Yes. But let's first understand where I lie in this kind of structure of the community. Two, it just looks like she's having a millisecond of time of trouble. And instead, I think as a fellow parent, what I would do is look at that photo and think, what would lead to this photo? Do I think she intentionally put this carrier on incorrectly? No, I never would I think that. Do I think that she put this on and felt comfortable? Also, no, looking at that photo, I think she put it on, it wasn't comfortable, but her baby stopped crying.
Yeah.
And that was all she needed to happen. And then do I think she probably had a really short up until they got to the car or to change a diaper or to sit down to nurse? Also, probably, because these things have happened to me in public, and God forbid anybody take a photo of me in a less than perfect situation and post it to the internet. You know? And that's I just, you know, I said to the person, I think we need to remember what real life looks like and feels like as a mom of a baby who you're not even, you don't feel yourself. You don't feel yourself physically, mentally, emotionally. Mm-hmm. You're walking around in this body that has been yours your whole life and yet feels like a complete stranger. And then you have an actual stranger you've created or brought into your family to take care of.
Yeah.
And then you've braved the outside world. I just feel like that empathy, we're losing it, especially through a screen. It's so easy to forget that those are real people on the other side.
And easy to, I just saw a post yesterday, would you say it to my face?
Yeah, right.
That really spoke to me because so often we are behind our screens and we're just tap, 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 tapping away and just blurting out what comes to our mind. But would we actually say that to somebody's face? Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't. Probably 90 something percent of the time, we would never say that to their face. And so just really being, like you said, pump the brakes. I like that. Slow down.
Slow down.
Because it's so easy, right? To be like, that's not the right way to do it. And instead of just going, wow, look at you too. You know, if they're smiling, look at you too smiling. You look so happy.
Exactly.
Sure, they might be uncomfortable, but they're happy in that moment. It was just a moment, you know? And just bringing it back to reality that a lot of parenting is messy. And why is it okay in some areas and not in others? You know, I think, again, it makes me think of the whole obsession we have over safety. And yes, we do need to be safe because a lot of our regulations came in place after some unfortunate incidents, some really, you know, heartbreaking things. But when you look at those things in context, then it's easier to say, okay, we can relax a little bit in the sense that this isn't going to lead to that. You know, having my rings too low isn't going to lead to that. Exactly. Having a shallow seat isn't going to lead to that. You know,
exactly.
Is my baby upright? You know, is their face visible? Like just slowing down. And one thing, one of my mentors encouraged me to do is like, you know, if you're going to give advice, make sure that you also give positive feedback.
Yes.
You know, because you need so much encouragement as a new parent because you're already second guessing yourself. You're already, you know, thinking you're messing it all up and you're just insecure because you've never done this before. And it happens with any new journey, right? And like you said, like just this little stranger and you feel like a stranger. It's such a vulnerable time. You really need, I think the word that just keeps coming to mind is just more empathy, right? Mm-hmm. And just, would you say it to my face?
Yeah, I like what you said too about is it going to lead to X? Is it going to lead to Y? Is it going to lead to Z? And probably not, you know. Yeah. And when I think of that photo or another photo, a few days after that one, I don't know why I was getting slammed with these things all at once. A woman had her baby in a stretch wrap, and the angle of the photo was such that you couldn't see the baby's face. And so, again, if people were in my DM saying, Kaylee, that baby is going to suffocate and die. And I thought, oh my gosh, if you think that this mother is out in the world taking her baby for a walk, her third child, might I add, who would just let her baby not have air? I'm going to ask you to reevaluate how you think about people just in general, because that's not what's happening. And are most of these accidents truly accidents? Yes, but this was an angle of a photo. And so to pass judgment on one snapshot at an angle where you can't see, the ticks check isn't for anyone outside of the person wearing the baby. This isn't for me to say, Carla, I can't see your baby's face, so they must not be able to get any air. Okay, but Kaylee, I can see my baby's face. Right. I can feel that the baby's up against your body. You can feel the breath. You can feel whether they're shallow or deep. You can feel if there's a hiccup. You can feel the heat of the baby, the heat of your body. You know, there's more nuance than just this checklist. And like you said, when it's in your culture, that is something that you just learn. It is unspoken. It's something that is just passed down. Someone recently asked me, for a recipe. It was a recipe I posted, and it was my grandmother's recipe. And they said, "Ooh, what is that? What's in that?" And I was like, and I said, "It's some chicken and some stuff."
Hummus, and that?
I think I actually said verbatim some random spices. They said, "What's the random spices?" I said, "I don't know. It changes a little every time, but I know what the flavor is supposed to turn out."
Yeah.
They said, "Well, how did you learn to cook that?" And I said, "I grew up watching my grandmother and my mother cooking it. And so I can make this in my sleep, but I could not trust anyone. I don't know what the measurements are. I don't know what the instructions are. I just know how to do it." And yeah. I think it's similar to baby wearing in a sense that when it's cultural, when it's passed down, when you've just grown up around it, those safety checks you don't need a recipe for success. Yeah. Because it's part of you, it's muscle memory. But if you're not raised with the recipe around you, then yeah, you need a little bit of aid.
You need that, those exact measurements, right? Yeah. You know, 2 cups of this, 1 cup of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love that that analogy. It really fits because cooking is so much of that, right? It's just like, you just by taste, by smell, you just know.
Yeah.
Same with baby wearing. You just feel it.
Yeah.
You can feel when something is off, when you can feel a pressure point. You feel if your baby's starting to drop a little, oh, I have too much slack. Like it becomes just part of muscle memory, as you said. It just becomes part of what you do and how you do it. You know,
yeah.
It's not you don't need those strict measurements.
Exactly.
And when it comes to like decolonizing, I think that's really part of it too. I think it's just understanding the intuitiveness of it and stripping away some of that strict, it must be. Well, hold on a second. What do you mean it must be? You know, because what if, for example, cradle carry, right? Mm-hmm. As an educator, I have to be very mindful of how I teach that, just because of the risks that have come with it, improper usage and carriers made carelessly, I'm going to say, in the past, where there was not this intuition. And so there was no thought as to what, you know, how a baby should be placed and whatnot. So, but there are times when that is a very necessary, you know, if baby has just had a procedure or something where their hips cannot open up, has, you know, there's just so many variables. You know, you cannot say you can't do this.
Yeah.
That is not appropriate, or that is not the right way of doing it. You have to really be flexible. And anytime I see inflexibility, and in some countries, it's very inflexible. They have very strict rules. Mm-hmm. I have to be very careful in some groups because I'm there for education for myself, mm-hmm. really, because I love learning how baby wearing, those nuances are around the world. But sometimes it's just a little too, like, between this age and that age, you cannot use this type of carrier.
Yeah, it's like, why not? Okay?
Yeah. Why not? Because of this and that. Well, but according to who?
Yeah.
Telling you this, because if you look at, you know, just again, traditional baby wearing, we can see this being done safely.
Yes.
We can see this being done comfortably. It's mm-hmm. practical. It's mm-hmm. it's been happening for centuries. So yep. Okay. So we have to really take pause and you know, think yeah. about who's saying don't do this, don't do that. And why? Ask questions, right? Asking those questions and going back to those intuitive practices, I think, is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree completely. And yeah, too many rules, but not enough flexibility in the rules, or not mm-hmm. explaining where the rules come from, I think. I have a saying at work, which if I'm willing to break the rules, I just need to know why. And yeah. So for me, with a ring sling, you know, it's safe up to 35 pounds. I say up to, quote unquote, up to 35 pounds. My son is 38 pounds and still goes in a ring sling. The difference is he's not in it for long. He is 4 years old. He doesn't want to be in it for long.
Right.
To be honest. And the sling is tested way above his weight. It is tested above my weight. You know? But that is the pressure of somebody, his weight, if the, something happens, a fall, a trip, he pulls on the fabric, would the fabric rip, would the rings faulty, and then he fall? And that's where that recommendation comes from. So now that I know where that recommendation comes from, if my son is mid tantrum, if we're not in a safe, calm environment, he can't go in a ring sling because it's I am now sacrificing safety. Mm-hmm. But if we're home, and we're just standing around in the house, and he's had just, you know, trying to come down from a tantrum or a hard day, and he wants a little snuggle, and I'm in the kitchen cutting up some fruit, come on in. You get in this ring sling, 38 pounds or not. But again, that comes with knowing you, your situation, the child that you're putting in the sling. He's experienced being worn, I'm experienced in wearing. So yeah, these rules and regulations are there for a reason, but so is your intuition.
Yes.
Your gut feeling. You know what your kid wants. I always say that. People ask me all the time, how do I know if my baby's uncomfortable? And it sounds so cliche to say, you just know. But I know that feeling. I know that feeling of being a first-time parent and never having had to read a small human before. It's like, what, tell me, use your words. What is it that you're trying to tell me? But you get to know. And I don't know, that's usually my top piece of advice is try it out. The only absolute is it needs to work for you. It needs to work for you, and it needs to work for your baby. And if it doesn't, you probably have the wrong carrier, the wrong time of day, the wrong temperament. Something is off.
Yeah.
That's all I can say, really.
Yeah. Keep trying and just, trust that as they, I find that as they do it more, build up that confidence, build up the comfort, the skill, right? Like there's a certain amount of skill to it.
Yeah.
That amount of being close just also reinforces getting to know each other and hearing those little grunts and feeling even just a little movement. You're like, oh, you're starting to wake up. Okay. Yes. Before they even have to fuss, you're like, oh, you're about to have a bowel movement. Okay. Yeah. and it sounds as a first time parent, you're like, how do you know these things? Yeah. It really just comes with practice and just awareness, right? Just being aware and just waking that up in us. It's already there, you know, and it's been growing as your baby's been growing. It's been growing in you. And you're just like, okay, once you meet them, it's just like, whoa, okay. And each little thing, each little diaper change, each little bath, each little, changing their clothes, you're just getting to know them, their movements, their grunts, their, their words, because they don't speak yet, but they can communicate, and it's
very well.
Yeah. A lot of trust, a lot of building that trust between the two of you.
Yep. Oh, now I want another baby.
Oh, man. Oh, there's just something special about little squishy babies, but it's amazing to see them as they grow. And like you said, you mentioned your 4-year-old and and my 6-year-old, I still put her in a ring sling not too long ago. She couldn't keep up with the walk. And so it was like, oh, up you go. And again, it was a short little while, but it was just enough. It was almost like when you're thirsty and you have a sip of water and it's just like, that's what I see in these bigger kids, right? You're not going to be wearing them for hours and hours like they were when they were smaller, but it's just this moment of refreshment that they need, a moment of just going and they're up for like tops 5 minutes sometimes. Honestly, and it feels like, well, what was the point? Well, there was a refreshing point. They needed that.
Exactly. Hey, when you go to Disneyland, you don't walk all day, you need to sit down for a minute. Just take a break and then you can get back in.
Oh, well, I could keep talking to you, Kaylee, honestly. There's so much I want to chat with you about, but this has been really wonderful. And I think just a really good reminder of growing in empathy for one another. You've just really made me think about being more, having more empathy for parents I see out and about, not just on the online groups, because that's important too, right? Of course, because that's where a lot of us spend a lot of time, but In real life, the parents around us, our family, our friends, strangers, just being more empathetic and encouraging them to really just trust their intuition that they know this. They know what their child needs. They know, how to parent their child. Mm-hmm. So yeah, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
For your time.
I love talking about baby wearing.
Yeah. We could do this all day. We'll have to do this again.
All right. Good.
No, but thank you so much for your insight and for the wonderful work you're doing through Heritage Baby Designs, not just in creating beautiful, you know, carriers, which they are, but they're quality carriers as well, because you can just pass it down. And you know that it's not just for one baby, that this is going to carry many babies. And it's just a really wonderful gift to the baby wearing community. So I thank you so much. And for all the education that you pour into the community, and for your knowledge and your insight. So yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Do you love ring slings? Maybe you're curious about them, or maybe you're ready to add a ring sling to your parenting toolkit. I encourage you to follow Heritage Baby Designs on Instagram for thoughtful and insightful content, ring sling support, and education, as well as to stay in the know about their upcoming carrier drops. If you have any questions about this podcast or general baby wearing questions, please reach out. You can find me at the Baby Wearing Club across all media platforms. Thanks again for tuning in. Blessings to you and happy wearing.